This is Pat Tomlinson. I'm talking with Dr. Jim Smart, Ag Spectrum Research and Teaching Agronomist, who is working at his home office on his farm near La Harpe, Kansas. Jim, how are conditions on your farm?
Well, it's been very dry, as I told you last time, but fortunately, we are getting rain this morning, so that's wonderful. And it's cooled off. Rather than being very, very warm, it's in the 60s this morning, so it's very comfortable.
That sounds like pretty good weather for you. I hope it continues. What I wanted to talk with you about today was Service Check 4. I thought it might be good to review the purpose of this service check and maybe help give our associates some ideas on how to approach it and what they may want to cover to have the best result from the time they spend with their clients. Just to be clear on where this falls on the crop timeline, this service check should be in the reproductive stage of growth, usually beyond our foliar applications as we are approaching harvest. One of the main goals of Service Check 4 is to help set expectations for harvest in the grower's mind. How would you characterize what an associate should be trying to do on this contact?
On Service Check 4, we would like our dealers to be with their customers in the field, look at ears development, talk about what we have done so far to help them to set and fill that ear, and sometimes even a second ear may be starting to fill, and talk about the root growth and what that has done for us up to this point. It's important not to tell the grower, you know, you're going to make 280 bushel or whatever it is. We can do ear and kernel counts and we can do estimates, but from here on out, we're filling that ear, and the weather can make a big difference. For example, if it gets to be 105 next week for a few days, we can shrink our ear size. So we don't want to tell the grower a number that's not realistic if our weather turns south on us. But it's important to show if you had mohawking of your corn roots early, that may be one reason why our stalk isn't as big, or maybe the ears aren't quite as large because we had stress on those plants. And talk about how we can avoid some of those things that may have occurred this year in the future.
Can you talk a little about soybeans, Jim?
With soybeans, it's a good time to talk about fruiting structures, how many there are on each node, how many nodes we've developed, and how that leads to how many pods we can have. We know that we can stress the plant at this point, and it may abort flowers, fruiting structures, as well as pods and even beans in the pod if we have severe dry or hot weather later. But at this point, talk about how we've set the plant up to do really well, show the producer the roots. Perhaps our roots are overlapping or intermingled between rows. Help the producer to see that the nutrition he's provided thus far set the plant up for optimizing the yield.
I like the point you made about not feeling compelled to give a number for yield in order to set expectations with the grower. If an associate feels comfortable and confident giving a specific yield estimate, that's fine. But if you don't want to give a number and place an inevitable focus on how far off you were, I think what's really important is the review of what the grower can see now and how you got there, and talking about what he thinks are reasonable expectations. We always want to remind a grower of what he did right on a service call, and reviewing those parts of the system and his efforts that paid off with bigger roots or more active soil biology and nutrient mineralization can be a good part of the discussion. But we also want to remind him of some of the adversity the crop has dealt with: delayed planting, stretches of dry weather, maybe herbicide carryover issues, whatever the factors are in that specific field. It's good to review what he has working for the crop and what may be working against the crop to help give him a realistic idea of what to expect.
That's a very good point. This year, several states changed the rules on the timing of dicamba applications on soybeans. And some states, that was quite a bit earlier, and then some weeds emerged after that date. So the producers selected other herbicides to control the late emerging weeds that came in after June 10th or June 15th. Many of those products that may well control the weeds have restrictions on how quickly you can rotate back to corn from soybeans. One example would be a very effective herbicide, Prefix. It can control many broadleaf weeds and does a good job generally. However, there's a 10-month rotation restriction back to corn. I believe in most areas it's 5 months back to wheat. So if the producer is planning to plant a small grain this fall or even corn early next spring, he would want to review that label again and see if it would be appropriate. The other thing, if they have experienced some dry conditions or unseasonably hot conditions, some of the herbicides require microbial degradation to break down. And if it's very hot and dry, the microbes aren't very active. So instead of 8 or 10 months for that product to break down, it may be 12 or 16 months or even longer. So make sure you pay attention to what herbicides were applied this year and what our plans or expectations are for next year, because we may have to alter that depending on our growing conditions from this season.
Certainly, herbicide issues and potential for an impact on future crops can be very important. With respect to other specifics to look at when you're in a field, I think of things like looking at both the best and worst areas of a field, whether that's based on a historical record of where the highest and lowest yields have been produced, or it may be related to specific issues from this year or observations on earlier service checks. If there is more than one hybrid in a field, make sure you look at both of them to see if there are any obvious differences. Also, bring your tape measure and take some stand counts and ear counts to compare to planting population. Looking at things like plant and ear uniformity, ear height uniformity, and brace root formation, as well as overall root health and structure, can all give us some ideas on setting expectations for this year, as well as offer potential for future improvements. Are those good ideas for things associates can actually do when they're walking in the field with clients?
Those are for sure. And the point about looking at the good and the bad areas of the field, yesterday I was in a field where on the south side of the section, the corn was very nice. It looked like it would have an exceedingly good yield. But on the north side of the section, they had planted a variety where the rootworm event had completely failed, and rootworms were overwhelming the corn. There were almost no roots, and it was set up to do very poorly on at least 80 acres of that 320-acre field. So just looking at one side may not provide the full picture. And particularly if they've used different varieties or even different planting dates, it would be a good time to talk to the producer about why maybe one portion of the field is different or not doing as well, and how to avoid those problems in the future.
One of the other things that's likely to be on many growers' radar in this age of aggressive fungicide marketing and lots of press about tar spot in corn is leaf disease pressure in general. It's good to be aware of the local disease pressure that's being observed, whether it's tar spot or some of the old familiar standbys like gray leaf spot, northern leaf blight, common rust, or southern rust. Depending on the timing of your service check and the disease pressure present, it could still be advisable to think about another fungicide application to address the fast-moving leaf diseases like northern leaf blight or southern rust. But for sure, I think we want to note where in the canopy the disease is seen in terms of being below, at, or above the ear leaf, and talk with the grower about how that may affect yield.
Yes, that's a very good point. And one of the things when the producers are putting on their, are getting ready for the second foliar nutrition on brown silk at corn, many producers want to go ahead and add a fungicide and an insecticide and, you know, other products. And while physically things can mix well, it's important to say, is the timing correct for those? Because we don't want to delay the second foliar application just to meet the timing of an insecticide or a fungicide. We need to get the nutrition out when it's needed. If it corresponds well with the timing for a insecticide or fungicide, that's great. If it doesn't, maybe we'll have to come back and make another application when the timing is correct for those other products.
We've talked a little about digging roots and whether we're looking at corn roots and the structure, health, and size, or looking at soybean roots and the tap root and lateral roots, as well as the nodulation on both the tap and hopefully on the lateral roots also. It can lead to a discussion of air and water management, calcium and magnesium base saturations, and reviewing the impact they have on the rooting environment, and a discussion of fall plans for lime, gypsum, or soil testing orders in time to qualify for the August 15th discount.
That's a good point, and if the producer needs or wants to get gypsum and or lime, it might be a good time to start ordering some of those products, because in some areas, there's going to be a availability issue. So if you order early, you're likely to get what you need. And if you order later, you may or may not be able to receive the quantity that is desired. Another thing I've seen recently, we've had many growers that had a cover crop over the fall and winter, and they're very happy with the results on their corn and soybeans following that cover crop. The demand for cover crop seed is increasing, so if you want a particular blend or mix, you might be thinking about getting that ordered at this time, because as the demand increases, the availability in some areas may become tighter.
Cover crops are a great thing to discuss to gain a better understanding of what the grower's plans are and how that may impact his operation and reflect his concerns. I think the earlier planting season we saw this year will likely give us an earlier harvest, allowing for more timely sowing of cover crops or another crop like winter wheat. Certainly that provides an opportunity for us to talk with clients about the ability they have to maximize wheat tillering and create more harvestable heads, as well as promote plant health through fall nutrition, followed up by a correct timing of spring foliars and the timing of nitrogen application on their wheat crop.
That's a good point, and wheat is a very good price right now, and with the geopolitical climate, it looks like it's going to remain good for some time in the future. There's many people that are wanting to plant wheat on acres where they need to maybe spread manure in the summer or do some tile work in the late summer. And wheat's an excellent crop that you can get off in June or possibly early July and then have some time later to do some dirt work or applications of lime, gypsum, or tiling that you otherwise wouldn't be able to do in the late summer because there's a growing crop there. So wheat's important, and then make sure they refer back to what herbicides they use, because some of the herbicides are going to be very harsh on the wheat if we try to plant that. So it's important to consider, you know, have we got the herbicide plans in place that will not be damaging for wheat or small grains in the fall.
Well, Jim, as we think about winding up this conversation, are there any other thoughts that would be good to add for associates to be thinking about?
Yes, we may have some producers who are interested in a fall herbicide program so that they can control biennial or perennial weeds in the fall so they're not there next spring to deal with. And some of the programs, for instance, putting on 2,4-D or dicamba or even autumn or some of those things in the fall can be very effective to control those things like mare's tail rosettes or henbit pennycress in the fall, where they won't be a problem in our fields at planting time in the spring.
You've given us a lot of good thoughts on Service Check 4, Jim. As we wrap up, I can't help but think about one of the many good Yogi Berra quotes. He said, "Baseball is 90% mental and the other half is physical." I think we could adapt it to say service checks are 90% about showing up and being in the field with a grower, and the other half is what you do while you're there. So I'd encourage you to make sure and get the first 90% accomplished by showing your clients you care enough to be there. If you can also use some of the ideas we talked about today, that's great too. Don't forget to plan for a combine ride during harvest and yield data collection for a maximum farming report for your clients after harvest. And of course, use the Dealer Tools app to document the contact and what you learn. Thanks again, Jim, for taking the time to share your thoughts with us on Service Check 4.
Okay, thank you, Pat.